God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Christmas Eve Day, the 24th of December, 2006. Special music this morning from Miss Amy Farney, and then from Steve and Candy Patrick, and the message by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world, listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening.
Just don't warm our hearts like it ought to. The carol seems so hollow to our ears. A million miles from home, we're feeling lonesome. Lonesome for the place we love so dear. All up in arms of shining song would be ringing loud and clear. No miles between us there, we'd be contented. Contented in the place we love so dear. We know the perfect way to spend the holiday.
Philippians chapter 2, as I began studying this week, beginning in verse 5, I believe this passage so clearly helps us to understand why he needs to be adored. It said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Lord, we come to you today, and we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the greatest in heaven and on earth. And Lord, wherever there is, Lord, there is God, and he is the greatest of all. You've given him the greatest name. As Brother Lynn mentioned, Lord, so appropriately, Lord, in his worship time, devotion, Lord, the importance of a name, and Lord, what it means. And Lord, the names that have been given to you, and as we look at those names, even this morning, Lord, that as we call the Christmas story, those names that stand out, Lord, that were given unto you, Lord, may we just take some time this morning to stop and to adore you. Lord, something that we take little time to do, but today, Lord, well, may we all come together and just adore the name of Jesus Christ. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Adoration. What a wonderful thing. The actual word adoration really means in a simple form to worship. It is when you worship something or someone, you adore them. It has been given several definitions. I've just picked two that I like. A.W. Tozer, talking about what worship is and adoration, says this. What is worship? Worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner a humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe and astonished wonder and overpowering love in the presence of that most ancient mystery, that majesty which philosophers call the first cause, but which we call our Father which art in heaven. I like also the way that William Temple put it when he talked about adoration and worship. He said, "For worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of the conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of the mind with his truth, the purifying of our imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of the will to his purpose." And all this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy of our self-centeredness, which is our original sin, and the source of all actual sin. They call it worship or adoration. This morning, isn't it appropriate that we do worship and adore Jesus Christ? I began looking at that Christmas story that we read in Matthew and Luke and throughout the Gospels. And as I began looking, I was actually amazed, to tell you the truth, as I saw the many names given to Jesus Christ just in those first couple of chapters. It actually was overwhelming. Of all the names given unto God, unto Jesus Christ throughout the Bible, several mentioned just right here in the first couple chapters. And I thought that we would just take just a few minutes this morning to look at those, that we might bring ourselves back to what it really means to adore, to stand in awe at God. As we come to this day, it's such a cherished day in the life of every born-again believer. And I'll tell you here, even this morning, if you're not a born-again believer, it could be a cherished day for you as you accept Jesus Christ. It could be a wonderful day, but as we come for one purpose, not just to put in our time, not just to have something to do. We come with a specific purpose. The God of heaven that came down to earth, that was born in a manger and one day died to give us life. We come to do one thing, to honor and to praise him. We'll show you how to do that this morning. But let's first of all look at how or why we really need to adore him. It's because of who he is. We adore him because of who he is. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, if you would. And you want to be in Luke and Matthew as we turn back from Philippians chapter 2. And we will look at Luke chapter 1. And as we just pinpoint a few scripture verses here in Luke 1, as we look at the story and the names given unto God that really explain to us who he is. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." And shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus in Luke 2:21, as well as in Matthew 1:21, the Bible tells us Jesus means Jehovah saves. How beautiful it is to know in the Old Testament and the New Testament, this Jesus who saves our soul. Just the name Jesus itself ought to excite every born-again believer, because it signifies the salvation that we have in Almighty God. Jesus truly does save. How beautiful it is to understand that. He goes to verse 32, look what he says. "He shall be great and shall be called," look at this, "the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." It goes down just a little bit farther and look at verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." I put those two together. Beside being called Jesus, he was called the Son of God, or the Son of the Highest. Think about that. The title of the Highest. The highest name given. Brother Scott spoke this morning in Sunday school about the greatest man besides Jesus on the face of the earth was John the Baptist. It was obviously given to him by Jesus himself. So the greatest man that ever was born of woman was John the Baptist. And yet here we find a different accolade, but it's given to Jesus himself. He is the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. Let me tell you something. There is no greater title on the face of the earth. Not president, not CEO, not prince, not king, not emperor. Nothing can compare to be called the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. If there's no other reason to adore him, to stop this morning in a state of awe, in the presence and power of Almighty God, but to realize that we worship the Son of the Highest. Never forget that. Never forget who we come to worship. It is not the big man in the sky. It's not the man upstairs. It's not my partner, my friend, my buddy. It's the Son of God. Keep it in perspective. He goes on as we take a look here and keep your finger here in Luke, but look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1, another name given unto Jesus here. In John 1, 1, very classic verse. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Claiming once again the very deity of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, allow me to read it to you. Chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He is the Word. Why do we honor him? Why do we adore him? He is the very Word of God. Some people say, you know, preacher, you put so much emphasis on the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You hold in your hand the very essence of who God is right here. Since the Word is God, the Word was God, and the Word is God, these very words that come here are sacred to us. We believe that every word in this book is 100% accurate. It's inerrant. It's infallible. And when we read it as though God himself is speaking to us. Why? Because he is the Word. What a great title to understand the Word of God. So even as we come, we adore Him by just reading the Word of God, by just soaking in the very words that He says. We're like praising Him by just lifting Him up. He is called the Word. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 1, if you would. Matthew chapter 1. And I know we'll flip back and forth here for just a few minutes. It'd be good practice for you. Matthew chapter 1. As we just take different sections out, verses 22 and 23, which Brother Lynn read, and so appropriately. In verse 21 it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And he goes on with another name. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by a prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us." Sometimes we don't understand this hypostatic union of God and man together. But what an amazing thing it is to understand the title given to him was just clarifying to the world. It was in bold print. You're going to call his name Emmanuel. Well, Mom, Dad, what does that mean? Well, it means God with us. See, in ancient days, names were very important. Names were very clarifying. As a matter of fact, even today, a name is important. Although we, sometimes in America, may put less emphasis, I'll let you know, around the world, a name signifies something. The name that you have is very important. It signifies who you are, where you came from, and even a lot of times, where you are going. The fact of the matter is a name is a lot. And in ancient times when they named people, they took great thought. They named them in honor of a grandfather or a father. They named them in honor of some individual that was important to them. Why? Because they knew the power of a name. And so when God came down and said, listen, you'll call his name Jesus, he shall also be called Emmanuel, it wasn't a flippant thing. It wasn't an accidental thing. It was on purpose to let the world know, guess what? God has just come down from heaven, and he is now living amongst men. Wow. At Christmas time, you ought to remember above all else that God lived with us. He came down in the form of a man with one purpose in mind, that he might be the sacrificial gift. When I think of God with us, besides his presence, besides his power, besides just getting to know him, I think of this. God came down as we love the birth of a baby. We get excited about a baby being born. We must also realize he did it for only one reason. Because he loved you and he loved me. That is the story of Christmas. It's a story of such great love that God would even consider putting on one of these mortal bodies and going through whatever we go through and suffering what we suffer. Why? Because he loves us. Wow. God with us. Is God with you today? I hope he is. I hope he is. By the way, he can be if you want him to do. God's desire is not just that he would come in mortal flesh and walk among us. God's desire is that he would live inside of every single individual. God with us is so powerful. It is his ultimate plan that through his death, his spirit would be left here called the Holy Spirit of God. And all those who by faith accept him as their Lord and Savior, they would have God with them wherever they go. Isn't it a great joy to know if you're a believer today that God is with you wherever you go? Through the trials, through the hardships, through whatever type of year that you've had, if everyone else has walked away, if you've lost loved ones through this mortal body of death that have gone on, and yet the one person that will not leave you, the one person that is always here is a man called Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas ought to remind you of that, that you do have something, and you do have somebody who cares and is with you every step of the way. His name is God. He goes on as we look at his name, Jesus and Emmanuel. There in Matthew chapter 1, though, back up just a little bit. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17. Look what the Bible says. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ. His name was called Christ. In Luke 2:26, the Bible says it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That word Christ specifically means the anointed one or Messiah. The anointed Messiah that should come. He was called Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, Son of the Highest. And then he was called Savior in Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Paralleling the name Jesus, he came to save the world. And finally, in Matthew chapter 2, right there in verse 2, just turning over one page, it says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him, King of the Jews. Completing the Old Testament prophecy, prophecy that the scepter should not depart from the line of Judah, and from Judah would come the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ comes in. He's given right at his birth, right at the beginning of his life, Jesus and Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Son of the highest, and who can forget? And the King of the Jews, completing every single aspect. Who else has such names like that? Who else deserves such glory and honor but God himself? Listen, we need to take time to just stop and say, guess what? It is God that we serve. We need to just allow it to soak in. We live in a fast-paced society. Few of us like to stop. Now, I know some of you, you love Christmas because it's busy, busy, busy. And you like that, man. I mean, it just kind of go, 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 go. But few of us just like to stop and do what's called contemplating, meditating, thinking. But I believe Christmas is the time to do that. I believe Christmas is a time to just stop and to think about who Christ is and what he's done for us. It would do you so much good. It would be like a cleansing to your soul if you could just stop and realize, wow. It's not just a story that we read. It's not just some routine we go to. We go to church, we read the story. It is God that we're serving. It is the very presence of the Almighty. It's the one that was in creation, in the beginning with God, was Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That is who we worship. That is who lives within inside of us. Can we get a hold of this thought? We are to adore him because of who he is. Most of the time we worship God because of what he does, let's be honest. We like God because he saves our soul, praise God. We like God because when we pray, he gives us things. Matter of fact, isn't that the same way we treat people? You know, we like those people who give us stuff. Let's just be honest. If someone gives you a gift, someone gives me a gift, I like them. You say that's shallow. Well, welcome to the real world. Man, some of you ladies, man, you brought all kinds of food, and I'll probably gain about 5 pounds. And so do not come up to me the first week of, you know, the new year and say, preacher, you gained weight, because I'll just look at you. And we got all kinds of goodies come in, and you say, wow, preacher, yeah, how do you think about that? I love it. I love it. You say, good stuff. Oh, man, it's good stuff, man. We like that. We love to receive. We like when things take place. You know, those are wonderful things, and that's just a fact of life. But let's just be honest. Sometimes we only love God, we only worship God because of what he does for us. Matter of fact, there's some that may be sitting here right now and you've had a horrible year in your mind. That's what you're thinking, why are we here? Why should I worship God? I mean, what has God done for me? What do you mean what has he done for you? You wouldn't exist without God. You see, we put too much emphasis on what he does instead of who he is. And I don't know about you, but I'd hate to be judged that way. I know we normally are, but aren't you glad that somebody loves you just for who you are? I mean, seriously. My mom loves me. Yeah, I can be rotten, and I usually am, but anyways, I can be rotten all year, and mom will still say, love you. Why? That's just the way it is. And don't look funny. Your mom loves you for the same reason. It's not like you're special or anything. You just think you are, but you're not. Okay? So, the old saying, you have a face only a mother can love. That's true for a lot of us, I'll tell you right now. There's some depth to that, I'll tell you right now. But there really is. I mean, isn't it wonderful? I mean, you have someone that loves you no matter what. Why? It don't matter if you're some big CEO, president, you make a lot of money. Moms don't care. I mean, it don't matter to them. It don't matter if you have some little bitty job over here, some big job. And all they care is that you're close to them and that you're around and that you're their child. Man, isn't that a wonderful feeling? You don't think God wants to operate the same way? Don't you think God would just like to be loved for who he is? It'd be so nice if we as Christians would realize Christmas is a time to say, okay, God, what have you done for me this year? What are you going to give me? If we just stop and say, I love you, God, for who you are. You're God. You're Emmanuel. You're my Savior. It's who you are. You're the Son of God. Wow. Oh, it'd do us some good just to stop and think about that today. And to adore him and worship him for who he is. Now, folks, that's a good way to begin. I'd like to conclude this morning by giving you some ways to express your worship. Most of us are pragmatic. We like to do things in a practical way. So allow me, besides just stopping and thinking about God, give you some ways this day that the God of heaven, the one that's done so much for us and deserves so much adoration, ways that we can show him that adoration. I wrote down several ways. I will not exhaust the list because we could be here for a while because he deserves so much. But I wrote down just some of the highlights that God gave me this week. Probably the greatest way that we could show adoration to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah. Probably one of the greatest ways, to be quite honest with you, is just to accept him for who he is. The whole purpose of this book right here, this Bible, is the message of mankind of how to restore a broken relationship with Almighty God. You say, preacher, I don't have a broken relationship. Listen, when you're born, you have a broken relationship with Almighty God. You are separated from God at birth. And God sent us this book and this story of his birth and finally in Easter coming up in a few months, his death, burial, and resurrection. And when you put it all together, there's one message. God loves you and he wants you to be a part of him. He wants to be a part of you and to come into your life. But the only way that happens is if we stop and recognize that we need God and that we are sinners and that sinners were separated from God. For all have sinned, the Bible said, and come short of the glory of God. But if we'll just recognize that and today realize, hey, guess what? This wonderful God who deserves all my praise came and died on a cross that I might have life. And if you'll just accept him, you'll just believe that and ask for salvation like so many here have done, guess what? That is the greatest way to adore him. How much greater way than to accept the whole purpose of why he came than to say, I'm a believer, I believe in you. Wow. I think inside of me, I didn't get saved at Christmas time. But I tell you what, if I was alive today and didn't know Jesus Christ and read what I read this week, this would be the perfect day to accept Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole purpose he came was to save mankind. Folks, you're not going to heaven because you're good. Okay, I know some of you are getting gifts because you think you're good. Ball humbug. Okay, if you really did the good and bad thing, just about nobody gets anything this year. The fact of the matter is we don't get to heaven because we're good. We don't get to heaven because you're a member of Central Baptist Church. You get to heaven because you accept Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. And you don't just get there because you know about him. You have a knowledge of him. You don't just get there because you said some prayer one day and you didn't even know what you were doing. But when you're 5, 6, 7, 10, 5 of your friends went forward. You went too, you know, said some prayer and nothing's changed your life. No! Salvation is an awesome thing. When you stop and realize there's a God and I want to be with that God and I want a relationship with that God and I can get it through Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ, it changes everything. And if you've already accepted Jesus Christ, may I challenge you today, thank him for that salvation. Christmas ought to be a time when we thank God for that salvation. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. There's a second thing I thought of how we can adore Jesus Christ. The greatest way, without a doubt, would be by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. You say, oh, preacher, I've already done that. Now what do I do? Man, I'm so glad you asked. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. I've been drawn to this portion of the Christmas story probably all year long. But in Luke 2:36, there was a woman by the name of Anna. The Bible says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age. I'll interpret old. Had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So basically, I guess widowed about 84 years. So you say, well, preacher, she was married 7 and never remarried? Well, yeah, I guess after living with whoever she lived with for 7 years, she couldn't take it anymore and decided that that's enough. Some of you are thinking the same thing. Don't do it. But then she decided, you know, hey, you know, this didn't work out real good. So she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And look what it says in verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Man, I love that part. Joseph and Mary had walked in and Simeon had seen. And the great prophet said, this is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings. And he began to praise God and Anna heard. And she comes running over and she began to see and say, this is him. And I can imagine this older lady walking through the temple just saying, it's him, it's him, it's him. Here he is, and here's this 84-year-old woman that's just running through going, this is the man, this is the Messiah. She just began to proclaim to everyone, and she probably looked foolish, probably looked crazy, but guess what? Who cares? You want to adore somebody? Man, you talk about them. Come on. Most of your grandparents love your grandkids, and you won't shut up about them. I mean, you're pulling out pictures, oh, my kid did this, my kid did that, and we have to endure this hours upon hours. Okay, why? Because you love them. You think they're wonderful. And you have an awe about them. They're wonderful. Some of you adore your kids, as we would say. And maybe not to the same degree of worship, although some do. But what do we do when we adore somebody? We talk about it constantly. If it's a sports hero, man, we put them on our wall. We learn their stats. We talk about how great they are. We proclaim them. You tell me today, what can I do at Christmas time for Jesus Christ? Let me tell you what you can do. You can adore him by proclaiming him to other people. Tell your loved ones, tell your neighbors, tell everybody. Well, our family doesn't pray very much. Do it anyways. Why? You're praying to Jesus Christ. We don't talk about God in our household. We got a lot of atheists or non-believers. Who cares? Proclaim Him anyways. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be weird. But listen, we're serving God. It's not their respect we're looking for. It's God's respect we're looking for. This is His day. This is His day, folks. It's time Christians quit backing down from God's days. It's time we quit backing away, being afraid of whatever other people think. You know what the problem is? We're so worried about other people adoring us, we don't take the time to adore God. We're just way too concerned about what other people think about us. We realize we're just overly consumed. I wonder if they'll like what I wear. Let me help you. I don't know what you wore last week. Well, preacher, you're a man, and I like it that way. You know? I don't even, I can't wear the same. I mean, some of you ladies got up and go, did I wear this dress last year? Who cares? Well, what does it matter? I mean, we get so concerned in simple ways about what other people think, and I get blown that we're so concerned about other people that we don't take time to be concerned about Jesus. And you want to adore Him today? I tell you what, step aside of yourself. Forget about what you want, what you look like, what's happening to you, and stop and say, thank you, God. Let me tell you about the God who saved me. Let me tell you about the God who loves me. Let me tell you about, let me just proclaim His name. Why? It's His birthday. I dare say if it was your kid's birthday, no one would stop you from holding a party. I dare say nothing would keep you from proclaiming that it was their birthday. I dare say you're going to tell everybody you know and you're going to be proud of their birthday. Should we not be just the same with Jesus Christ? He deserves the adoration. Not at this season isn't about us. There's nothing to do about us. It's about Him, folks. And besides accepting Him, probably the greatest form, without a doubt, as I began to think about this, the greatest form of adoration is imitation. Imitation is a way that you show how much you appreciate somebody. Isn't it so touching when your kids are growing up and you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they go, I want to be like Dad. Then they get older and get smart. Realize that's probably not a good thing. But I mean, isn't it so cool? You know, you're like, that's my kid, man. But really, there's nothing greater they can say. I'll be honest with you. There's nothing greater they can do to say, I want to be just like Dad. Or for a little girl, say, I want to be like Mom. I mean, everything inside just goes, wow. Why? That is pure adoration. There's nothing better than to imitate. You know, you like a sports star. You know, you wear their jersey. And I remember Michael Jordan was popular. The saying was, I want to be like Mike. Y'all remember that? Want to be like Mike. Some of you that are young don't get it. Those of you that are the right age, you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, he was just great. People wore the jersey 23. Talked about playing like Michael Jordan. What? He wanted to imitate him. He wanted to imitate him. Romans 8:29 tells us that we're to be conformed to the image of God. That's our whole goal, is to be conformed to the image. Why? Because it's the greatest form of adoration outside of accepting Him. After you accept Him, the next great form is to be like Him. And when you walk around looking like and acting like and talking like Jesus Christ, you know, we've had those bracelets for how many years? You know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Man, I'm saying throw them out and just be it, okay? Now, I'm not against them, but I'm like, it's becoming almost become a fad. You know, everybody wears them, and everybody has a necklace and bracelet, and I'm not against them as long as the person wearing it actually looks like Jesus, okay? Why? Because that's the greatest form of imitation. It's to be like Him. I like the old homeless drunk that finally got saved. His name was Mike. He got saved. Man just changed his life. Matter of fact, surrendered to the ministry, began serving God, and started volunteering back down to the mission, telling his story about being an alcoholic and a homeless drunk and all that kind of stuff. Went around volunteering his time. There was another man there. Man, same thing, homeless and a drunk. And, you know, going to these missions, they usually make you go to some service, you know. And if you're going to get the food, you got to sit through a service. So they would, you know, and most of them would just kind of just do it to do it and mock and go on their way. But finally one day, Holy Spirit of God got a hold of just one of these drunks. And he came forward, and Mike was preaching up there along about accepting God. And he comes forward and just bows down and just starts crying galore. And as he's crying, one of the workers comes up to him and says, what can I do for you? And he says, man, I want to be like Mike. And the worker said, no, you mean you want to be like Jesus? And he looked up at the worker and said, is Jesus like Mike? I thought about it and said, wow, he's got it, man. I mean, he's got it. I mean, imitation, there's no greater form of admiration than to imitate. Folks, you want to adore Jesus Christ? You want to worship Him? Let me tell you, be conformed to His image. Be like Him. I ask you today, how much like Jesus Christ are you? Of all the people that you adore, I want to be mean. And I'm not going to dog your mom, your dad, your friends. But don't we spend a lot of time trying to be like people that are so inferior? We want the admiration of those who are inferior, and we want to be like those who are inferior. Folks, there's no greater thing than to be like Jesus Christ. I think we should spend our time, in this year, especially in 2007, dedicate ourselves to saying, I want to be more like Christ. And I ask you today, how much like Christ are you? Are there things in your life that today that you could give as a gift to Jesus Christ? He said, what are you saying, preacher? Are there words you need to remove from your vocabulary? Are there activities you need to remove from your life that are not like Jesus Christ? And maybe as a gift today, you'd come to him and say, I want to be more like you. Here, I don't want this anymore. That would be one of the greatest gifts you could give to him, is by imitating him. Last but not least of the things I want to mention today, Luke chapter 2. If you're there, verse 49, turn over another page. Jesus speaks here. He is now older, and they've come back naturally to celebrate the Passover. One of the few instances we have of him as a young child. But in verse 49, the Bible says, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? They lost Jesus. They lost Jesus. Yeah, that's kind of a interesting symbolism there. But they lose Jesus Christ. And we're not going to get into that right now, although some of you probably have. Oh, now, don't get me wrong. You can't lose your salvation. But there's some of you here today that you're not serving Jesus Christ the way you used to. And you've kind of gone on your own way and kind of forgotten about him. And so they get going on the road, and somebody stops, and you kind of know the old saying. Joseph looks at Mary and says, hey, where's Jesus? Mary looks at Joseph and says, I thought you had him. Nobody had him. I don't know how far down the road they get, but they turn around and go looking for him. I mean, totally panic, you know. I think, was it Brother Rocky Harold brought this out in our little Christmas thing that we had. And I could just imagine this. They go back trying to find Jesus. So all of a sudden they get back and they find him. And when they get him, he's not nervous. He's not upset. He's not like some kid that was locked in a church and left. Sammy, we did that to him all the time. He's not panicked. He's not, you know, I mean, he knew. He's there talking to all the leaders, going over theology at the young age, you know. Here he is. And they come to him and say, where were you? What's going on with you? You made us nervous. And he stops and looks at him and goes, well, don't you understand? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? And you know, somebody there said, you're making wood? You're a carpenter? No, my heavenly Father's business. He wasn't trying to imitate or impress his earthly father. He was trying to be like Jesus Christ. He says, I'm about my Father's business. Let me tell you, you want to give a gift back to Jesus Christ today? Oh, we could talk about giving him an offering. Sure. I think you ought to give an offering to God on Christmas. He's God. We give offerings to God all the time. I think it's wonderful. But you know what would be neat? Wouldn't it be neat if we had a whole bunch of people that dedicate themselves to what Jesus Christ's purpose was? The Father's business. You want to honor him? Pick up his business. Pick up his job. Tell people about salvation in Jesus Christ. Folks, those are four practical ways given to us in Scripture of how you can adore, worship, lift up Jesus Christ. Am I here to tell you this morning, it is an essential thing that we get back to understanding what adoration is. Because folks, Christmas time is a time where Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Most Highest, Emmanuel, the Savior of the world, known as the King of the Jews, his name should be spoken, his love should be given, and above all else, this day should be about him. Tomorrow should be about him. And I ask you, how are you going to worship him? Last I checked in the Bible, there were some wise men that came from several thousand miles, sacrificed time, money, and energy to bring a whole bunch of gifts. Why? To worship the king. Let's just be honest. Wasn't a lot of energy for us to get up this morning. And main service doesn't start till 10:30. I hope you're not thinking, well, I put in my time today, preacher. I show up for church. That's all the adoration he gets. I think not. I think God deserves a lot more than that, don't you? This is such a small part of our duty, is to show up to read the Word of God, to praise his name in song. I think he deserves more. And I want you to think today, what can I do to show my adoration to God today and tomorrow more than I ever have? Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now, and I thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, at this time we call Christmas, Lord, so many miss the Christ of that Christmas. Lord, I'm sure there are several here today, Lord, that although they have a religious background, have some understanding of religious things, the Holy Spirit of God has already begun to work in their heart, Lord, toward a thing called salvation. Lord, they do not possess you inside of them. Your Holy Spirit does not reign in their hearts, Lord. Although they have some religious knowledge and activity, they do not possess you. And Lord, the greatest thing they could do today would be to come and accept you. For many of us who have, though, Lord, there's other things we can do. We've already taken up the offering, Lord. We can give to you, which is an appropriate thing. We can praise your name through song, praise your name, and thank you by telling others. Or we can imitate you, which I believe is one of the greatest forms of adoration, Lord, is to mimic you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to think even today, Lord, what type of gift that we can give you, not only today, but for the coming year, that would show our adoration and appreciation for you. Lord, we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and give us a chance to get to know you. Until then, Merry Christmas, God bless you, and thank you again for listening.